Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and today we have Roberto joining me. Roberto, what's up?
Doing very good. Welcome to the fall, to the autumn, to the pumpkin spice. I'm living this pumpkin spice life.
We also have Matt on the line. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
For those of you that are new to our podcast, we are a gaming podcast by gamers, for gamers, and we talk about games, because that's what we like to do. This week's topic of the show is very interesting. It's coming from Matt. We're going to talk about how VR can help overcome fears. But before we get into that, let me get some housekeeping out of the way. If you do like us, please subscribe and rate us. It does help out the show. And, of course, you could check out our Twitter feed at GameStuffPodcast. And you can check out our Facebook group. Just search the Game Stuff Podcast and ask for invite. We're desperate for friends. We'll let you in. Don't worry. Yeah. Now, let's get our party started as we always do. Let's talk about what we've been playing. Roberto, have you been playing anything fun this week?
For the most part, yeah. I haven't really played. I mean, actually, if you count one PS3 game, with the exception of one PS3 game that I played last night, for the most part, pretty good. I'm getting in the habit of doing that now. I like doing this whole, let me just nostalgically play PS3 once or twice a week and just catch up on games that I may have missed or never had the opportunity to play. So last night I did that, and I managed to play two games. A couple of games, one of which actually has a sequel that came out today. And a couple Vita games and PS4 games as well. So let's get started. So first up, I played... first game I played was... once I mentioned this briefly last week. Space Hulk Tactics. So I'll go a little bit more into depth of that. For those that are unfamiliar with Space Hulk Tactics, Space Hulk was a board game founded in the 80s. It's set in the Warhammer 40,000K universe. And in which it's kind of like, think of like knights versus orcs, but now it's in space. There's giant ships that are the size of cathedrals. There are aliens, all sorts of different species. So Space Hulk was a claustrophobic board game because your characters like are in a ship and there's corridors. And, you know, rolling the dice meant a difference between life and death. These aliens kind of come in, they tear through armor like a hot knife through butter. And this particular game that came out 2 weeks ago actually is a tactical game for the PS4. It's really effective. It's fast-paced. You can do, like, first-person. You can do third-person. You have cards. You have combat. You have dice rolls. But the cards aren't like, it's not like a TCG type thing. It's just, like, those are, like, little buffs that you can, like, sacrifice or add to your characters to give you an edge in the missions. Really has really excellent presentation, solid sound, voice work, everything. So if anybody's looking to get like there's been like a rise of board games that get like a video game translation. And this is mm-hmm. one of the, like, some of them aren't too good. Like I played like a game called Talisman, I think. And I really didn't like that one, but this is one of the good ones.
Talisman is the really best fucking game ever.
Yeah.
So it's very easy. It's like this is D&D how you play light. Talisman. It's not even D&D light. No. You go around.
Yeah, you go in like a square or something? Oh, okay.
So it's a square board, mm-hmm. and there's three rings. So you go outside the outer ring. You're trying to get to the third level. So you go around and around and around. Then you finally get up to the second level, and you start around the second level, and then you get pushed down to the first level, and then you go around and around and around. Then you go back up to the second level, and then you go around and around, and then you go back down to the first level. Then you go around and around and around. Then you maybe get to the second level. Then maybe you go halfway around, and you're back to the first level. And then you table flip the game and end the game because you just just can't get to the last part.
That doesn't sound fun at all.
Right, right. That was happening on the Vita, and I hated it.
Actually, that game is banned at my house. I actually have two copies of the game. I have two different editions of the game because it's one of my favorite actual board games. My husband refuses to play it because that's how you have to play the game.
A friend of mine at work has described it as one of his favorite board games, actually. He's like a huge board game thing. Like, as much as we're into video games, he's into board games, and he like fucking loves Talisman and all the little expansions that go with it.
Yeah, yeah. There's another couple of board game type things. I think was Blood Bowl, I think, one of them, but that's another game I have now.
Blood Bowl is actually technically a miniature game, and so is Space Hulk Tactics.
Oh, okay, because I have that for PS4 also. Anyway, moving on. Agents of Mayhem.
Oh, yeah. I saw that game.
Yeah, lately I've been getting the habit of actually sharing my video clips instead of to Twitter, to Facebook, so people can kind of get what I'm playing. So I've been sharing clips from Attack on Titan 2, God Eater, and so this is one of them. So Agents of Mayhem is from the guys that made the Saints Row games, Volition, and it is a more of like a spin-off, sci-fi spin-off of that particular lineage of games. So it's an open world sci-fi game that takes place in South Korea, and you are actually a little squadron of interesting characters. So think of yourself like a Justice League of sorts, but it's themed to like the 90s, you know, in the sense. Like, you got one guy who's a former sailor. You've got a fashionista who now is an engineer. You've got a Russian soldier who is like kind of like the thing from Fantastic Four, except ice. And you've got a former Hollywood star who decides just to become a soldier one day. So, like, you've got these really cool characters. It breaks the fourth wall. It's has an interesting, a lot of just fun, laid-back shooting action. It doesn't take itself seriously. It's pretty neat. It reminds, and the animated cutscenes are probably the best because it's like they're really, really good. And it reminds me of like waking up on a Saturday morning to watch Saturday morning cartoons. Which is a little bit sad because in the sense of many of our listeners probably don't even know what Saturday morning cartoons are or were. It's a shame. But here's the thing. I bring this game up because it's good, solid, like, action. It can last you upwards of 40 to 50 hours. It's available on just about all platforms except the Switch. And you can get it for real cheap. So I just saw a tweet that I think one of the guys from Limberrun Games picked it up for $1.
Wow.
Which, like, most games aren't that good for $1, you know, but trust me, it is really, really, really good. I hope that the guys continue because they also have created Red Faction and they created Saints Row, and I do want to see those games continue.
It's funny because when that came out, everybody thought it was going to be like the next version of like Saints Row or something like that, right. But it ended up being entirely its own thing.
Yeah, and that was good because like... You know, it's like Saints Row hit like a peak with Get Out of Hell and Number 4 because like they, you know, like the first two were like GTA spin-offs type thing. Well, not spin-offs, but GTA inspired titles. The third one took the whole reality television celebrity approach, which I thought was really cool. That's another game I want to work on the PS3 because I got like halfway through and I never finished it. So then Number 4 took things into the stratosphere with an alien invasion, you being the president of the United States, the Earth getting destroyed, being lost in the Matrix, and then there was Get Out of Hell, which was another thing. So that one I never finished, actually. I need to finish that one. So I do hope it continues. Then let's run through the list here real quick so we can keep going. Next game is Dungeon Punks. Anybody?
I've heard what of that, actually. Yeah. Isn't that, it's like a first person, wait, no, am I thinking of a different game? I'm thinking of Bunker Punks.
Or you might be thinking One More Dungeon.
Maybe. Yeah. It's like first person, or this game is not that game, no. But yeah, I think maybe I'm thinking
Bunker Punks. One More Dungeon is actually a Wolfenstein 3D inspired FPS.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Dungeon Punks is like a beat 'em up, and you have like, you're part of like a mercenary group of werewolves, anthropomorphic creatures. You're like a ragtag group of people that has like slapstick humor and like and kind of just like laid back kind of writing, like it's not taking itself seriously. It's actually pretty cool. I mean, it's a nice palate cleanser type of game. Like, if you're not too focused on, like, an RPG or a story, you play this game, and all you do is go left to right, you fight monsters with spells and action and things like that. It's pretty good. It's on the PS4, PS3, and Vita, so there was that. Jak and Jill DX.
You've been playing that one, haven't you?
I actually, no, I don't think so, no.
Okay, I don't know. It sounded familiar.
Jak
sorry.
And Jill DX. Jak and Jill DX. It's, there's this company called...
Do you run up a hill?
Hill.
Jak and Jill run up the hill to get a pail of water?
Yeah, well, I guess so. It's an auto run game. With Game Boy graphics.
Do you not get the reference?
No.
It's like a nursery rhyme.
No. I never had that nursery rhyme.
Really?
My nursery rhymes were like the Transformers theme and Power Rangers and like the Tinkle Twinkle Little Star.
And then there's the other version of it. Do you know the other version of it?
Yeah, the Andrew Dice Clay version.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know that version.
No.
And what a terrible comedian.
Then I played a Trials game. Urban Trial Freestyle.
Oh, I love Trials games.
Yeah, me
not
too.
Bad. It's a this is the one where it's like an apocalypse and like the city's ruined, yeah. So you go through it and it's not bad. I like it.
But it's not a Ubisoft made game, correct? It's a different game.
I suppose so.
So it's not
yeah.
like
oh,
part
not?
Of the it's not part of the Trials lineage, Kalei.
Right.
It's just a another Trials game.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. It's pretty cool. And then lastly, here's where things get interesting. There is this company that created these games that are basically that were on the Wii, and then they released them for the PS3 called like that were very much inspired by Operation Wolf, called Heavy Fire. So literally, all it is that bad guys run in front and you shoot them, and it takes place in the contemporary military setting. So I played Heavy Fire Shattered Spear, which is actually pretty cool. And, you know, you can play with the Move controller or with the PS3 controller. And all it is that it's a palate cleanser. Like, it's a nice laid back. You shoot bad guys in front of you. You don't have to think about anything. You just have fun. However, there was another one called Heavy Fire Afghanistan. And the weirdest thing, and I have to put, I'm probably going to post a picture to the Facebook group.
Really? What happened?
The game, imagine split screen for one player. And the bottom screen shows what the top screen's doing.
Oh,
so basically, double vision,
weird.
Basically.
Oh, is that hard?
I don't know. I think it's a glitch that they never remedied.
Are you serious? They put out a glitch game?
Yeah, because I boot it up, and then it says, like, start game, so it's, like, split screen. So I'm, like, looking at two screens, but, like, it's a split screen, but it's the same thing that I'm doing. I couldn't find an option to turn it off or anything. I Googled it, and from what I gather, there's some kind of a like glitch or something that they never remedied. And now, like, if I want to platinum this game, I gotta play with like half a screen. It sucks.
Are you gonna platinum that game?
Maybe. I mean, I want to Heavy Fire Shattered Spear. That I had played that game in 2015. And I looked at all my trophies. I was like, wow, you know, I got all these trophies in 2015. So that one, I think I can platinum. The Afghanistan one, maybe, but I have no idea. That's going to be really difficult because of the split screen thing. But otherwise, yeah, that's ultimately what I've been playing this past week. I mean, I've been trying to, you know, squeeze in some more time for games and VR and things like that. And it's, you know, like I'm really trying to pump the brakes on a lot of things. Like I just picked up Starlink and as Kalei has done as well. And we'll talk about that later. But the thing with Starlink is like that's the last big game outside of Spyro that I'm picking up, and then there's a nice block of time between that and Ace Combat 7 and then Kingdom Hearts in January. So that's the idea. So yeah, because there's a huge backlog and I gotta take it easy. But in any case, so who's next?
I'll go next because poor Matt is apparently his headset is dying.
So
he's like,
I think my headset is dying, and because we just moved, I don't know where any of my fucking cables are to charge it. Like I have this tiny like foot and a half cable, and I'm gonna have to kneel down next to my computer to do this fucking podcast. Hold on.
Okay.
And it's on the other side of the headset. Fuck me.
This should be fun, guys. Anyways, I picked up Luigi's Mansion.
I did too. I've never played the game, though.
I've never played the game either.
Good. We're on the same page.
So have you started the game yet?
No, I have not, because I spent $150 on Starlink today. Because I'm that big into Star Fox, and I got the other thing.
I am so sorry. Oh my god. This is a start.
This is how I have to do the podcast now. I wish you guys could see me.
What? Oh my god. Poor Matt. So, just to kind of describe to our viewers here, Matt, like, looks like he's, like, being choked by his headphones a bit. Like, he's in the seat, but, like, he's...
Can you put your camera down a little bit more, please?
Put the camera down.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, so that's, this is what... Well... the one nice thing is that this shows that GameStuffs is an authentic show. We don't script anything.
I can just rest just like this for the rest of the show. I'm gonna take a little nap.
We don't script anything.
No.
Oh my god. Oh god. All right. So back to Luigi's Mansion. So it took me 2 days to figure out what the first thing to do in the game is because I'm an idiot. Have you played it, Matt?
No, I've never played a Luigi's Mansion game.
Okay. So, yeah, I was very confused. If anybody played, it was the candle thing. It just confused the hell out of me, and then it dawned on me what I had to do. So, I've been playing that for a little bit. I tried out a little bit of Mario Party. I had a lot of fun playing that. I played with my husband, and I played by myself. When I played by myself, I played on normal, and I felt that the AI was a little easy on the normal setting. Did you have that trouble, Matt? I know you... picked up the game.
I didn't. I'm protesting the sale of that game entirely because I don't have enough Joy-Cons to play it, and I think it's ridiculous that I can't play it with the two Pro controllers that I also own. I have to buy another set of Joy-Cons to play it with Michelle and Gavin. Otherwise, I'm not allowed to play it.
And for our viewers, we just have a picture of his arm.
Yeah, no, there was like one of my hairs got stuck on the screen, so it's just... What if I did this? Does this work? Hey, guys. How are you?
Yes, that works, too. That absolutely works, too. Perfect. This is our new...
Poor Matt.
I just can't believe I forgot to fucking charge my headset. I'm a dummy.
That's okay. It happens to the best of us.
It happens.
This is... I'm resting like I'm on a school desk. This is my life right now.
So, I didn't get to play much of anything else because I was so exhausted for Comic-Con, I slept all weekend. I did play a little bit more Horizon. I was having a lot of fun with that game. I mean, it's just Horizon, Forza. It's just a fun game. But now, I'm going to tell you my Starlink story. I was so excited today. Because not only did I get my new Starlink, I got my Apple Watch. Now, with my Apple Watch, I set everything up, and I decided to try it out. I went for a run today. I never run, but I went and ran. I come more like a fast walk. I did a little bit of running, a little bit of fast walk, trying to get that exercise in. Came home, was so excited to play my game. I was like, I have an hour before I have to get online. I was going to talk with some Apple guy. Open up my game, started taking out the pieces, I'm looking at the ships, the characters, and then I realized I'm missing the fucking game. They didn't pack my game in with the fucking game!
So that's why... Wow. Yeah, so that explains why earlier a tweet came out from our fellow podcasters over at Nintendo Dual Screens indicating that there were some reports that this game was missing. So I'm good. I got it for both PS4 and Switch, so the game came in, but that's not good. So what'd you do?
Nothing. It's sitting over here. I text you to get online to see what the game looked like. I thought maybe it was like a tiny cartridge I'm looking for.
Did it come luckily, with a Switch case?
No!
Okay, because it comes in a Switch case.
I didn't know what I was looking for, so I'm like trying to find someone who's got the game to text me and tell me what they're looking for, what I'm looking for, and you finally sent me a picture.
Wait, so you got a case that had all the other, like, the toys in it, but no game.
No game,
wow.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about fucking toys to life shit crystals, huh?
Yeah. I was a little, I'm a little annoyed. So, like, because I ran till 6:30.
Are you sure you didn't just get the, oh, you can play the game now pack, but you have to buy the game separately?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No, I actually looked it up. As much as I'm shitting on it, I looked it up because Roberto had suggested that you actually don't have to buy anything to play the game, and it's true. You can play 100% of the game buying zero physical things. You can actually buy a digital version of the game completely.
I know, but
fuck toys to life. It's so stupid. Right. I'm sorry.
But the idea is that, like, then that's like half the fun's not there. But I mean, I'm probably not gonna buy. I just honestly, I bought just because, like, just to have one ship. I'm not gonna buy like a 50 million ships or anything like that. Like, I'm not, you know, I have a buddy who, for example, has like every amiibo imaginable, and it's like I can't do that. It's just like, I know that GameStop gets me by the belt buckle with points and stuff, but I can't bring myself to do that. So, chances are I'm not going to, like, you know, buy different, like, you know, ship chassis or anything like that. But it is something to kind of, you know, it is nice that they decided to create something where you don't have to be, like, you know, tethered to having to actually buy the ships just to play the game. So it's nice, like, but, and that's a good, like, leeway because, as you know, a lot of that, like, physical toy to game stuff has been kind of has been shown to be a failed business model. Or not a successful one for the long term. You know, Lego Dimensions was like the longest that it had ever gotten, but that's probably on its way out. Skylanders is on an indefinite hiatus, and Disney Infinity was completely dropped and abandoned in 2016? After the third game.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm a little pissed right now. That's the kind of day I'm having. And then when I went to get ready to record, I realized that I didn't know where my microphone was. My actual microphone, sorry, cable.
Yeah.
So we went on a 15-minute
If you have, like, a microphone cable that's longer than, I don't know, a foot and a half, and you could mail it, like, ground as fast as it can go to my house right now, I'd be really appreciative.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It was a joke.
So, but yeah, so there's that. And I mean, at least, like, that's, I think I'm going to be jamming really hard to that. And that in Fist of the North Star, mainly because of the fact that, like, it's been a long time since I played like a spaceship combat interceptor shooter type game, like Starlink. I did play the game actually at E3 and I really liked it. So, and then back then it was like, it looked much rougher obviously than it does now. So, I think it's great. I mean, you know, like, plus I'm a Star Fox fan, and Star Fox I have a lot of nostalgic memories with growing up, and I used to play the game, and my grandmother used to, like, you know, watch me play, and I used to go, like, do the whole Mario thing, yahoo, when you flew, like, into one of the, like, the old Star Fox, you flew into a ship and to blow it up, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. So, and I played the Star Fox 64. I did not play Star Fox Adventures, and I played Zero. I liked Zero, despite the bad controls. So seeing this gives me a lot of hope that, like, you know, we might see, like, Nintendo maybe partner with Ubisoft to make a big standalone game for Star Fox. I don't know.
Actually, a lot of people have been taking that route and thinking that if this sells particularly well on the Switch, that that actually might happen.
Well, like, and to take into consideration the other thing that we witnessed, and that's that the Mario and Rabbids crossover was, like, people thought was going to be one of the worst things ever, and it wound up being one of the best things ever. And to the point where, you know, that says, like, whoever Ubisoft recruited for that really had a nice handle at diversifying and really emboldening what Mario is and what he could be. And in doing so, really left the channel open for anything. Like, who's to say that Super Mario, you know, he's driven carts, played golf, played sports, rescue the princess, what's to say, what's it like, you know, what's to say that he can't, I don't know, ride a battle tank in a cartoony, nonviolent way or something, or being a third person shooter, not like a shooter though. Like it had to be something kid friendly, like ray guns or something. So that being said, right. We'd have to see how how it would be to have Ubisoft handle Star Fox. So I think that's the best bet. Plus, like I'm a big the other thing, nostalgically thinking about this, I was a huge fan of an old spaceship shooter called Colony Wars back in the 1990s. It was on the PS1, and it was so awesome. It had James Earl Jones, who wasn't James Earl Jones, narrating the game. It was somebody who sounded just like James Earl Jones narrating how the game is, and it took place in a big civil war, and you flew interceptor starfighter craft and all sorts of stuff, and that was really, really cool. I don't know who the narrator was, but he had a hell of a voice. Definitely something worth checking out if you can, if you are fascinated by old spaceship shooters.
That's cool. Matt, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Try Not to Get some kind of severe neck disease while leaning next to my computer.
Yeah, your neck's gonna be killing you.
Yeah, I know. I've been trying to finish up Spider-Man, which I hit the last act last night, and the opener to the last act is probably one of the most well put together, one of the most well put together sections of any video game I've ever played. It was like the most intense and well paced thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
That I've ever played. It was absolutely incredible. So I'm not going to spoil what part that is, but it was really
great. Because I still got a ways to go to work on getting there, but that's
yeah,
that's
no, there's a I don't know how far you are, Roberto, but there's a part in the game, and I think if you haven't hit it, or if you had hit it, you would know what I'm talking about. And it is absolutely incredible. It really just pulls the whole game together. And I am a huge Batman fan. He's been my favorite superhero since I've been a kid. And I hate to say this, but I think that this is the best superhero game ever made. It's absolutely unbelievable. Like, they nail Peter Parker. They nail his villains. They nail the pacing and the dialogue of that universe, and it's fucking great. I finished Mega Man 11, which was dope. I had a really good time with that after it erasing my save file. And then I also I started Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is actually really, really fun. It's been a good so far. I've only put probably like 2 hours into it, but I'm having a really good time with it. And that's really about it. Not a whole lot.
Good to hear. All right.
Okay. Yeah, let's move on to our topic of the show, which is VR and how it helps get over your fears. Now, Matt, why don't you start with this? Because I know you read a little bit more of the articles than I did get a chance to. I'm so sorry.
Sure. So I kind of brought this up because we're in that season. You know, it's the spooky season, and it's all about fear and all that kind of stuff, and sometimes facing your fears through movies or video games or whatever, and I'm sure we've all had those experiences. But with the VR kind of coming to the forefront now and becoming a cheaper technology and really kind of shining its light on what it can do, we've seen some companies take it out of video game application and apply it in some other places. Most notably, helping people cope with their very real fears by kind of immersing them in those fears in a very safe environment. One example that I saw, we were kind of talking a little bit before the show, was a video where the Samsung Gear has an app called Courage for You or something like that, and it helps people deal with a fear of heights, where you open the app and it says what level do you want to start on, and you can choose kind of like a level of immersion and how high you want to go, and you look and you're in an elevator and you go to the second floor and you can kind of look around and it asks you how comfortable you are and will kind of judge you and help you get over that fear gradually. And I actually read an article just before the show about how There have been actually clinical trials with a fear of heights specifically, saying that VR has helped people completely get over their fear of heights. And so I just think it's a very interesting application for video games, where a lot of times the technology that comes out of video games is kind of seen as a fun thing and a hobby, but it's actually like a you know, a humanitarian use for that kind of technology.
Now, Matt, what is your fear?
Oh, that's a tough one. When I was really little, I was like super scared of the dark. I think, I don't know yet because I don't ever put myself in this situation, but I think I have mild claustrophobia, because like I love water slides, but every time I'm in a water slide, I am like silently freaking out on the inside that like I'm going to get stuck inside the fucking water slide. And then there was this movie that came out a couple years ago called As Above, So Below. It's a pretty great movie. It's a really good just horror flick. And there's this part where this guy's like crawling through this passage of bones and he gets stuck. It's a very tight passage. And like nothing else in horror really freaks me out that much. I've you know, I probably started on the horror train way too early in life, and it's really tough to scare me. And for some reason, like this dude freaking out, like caught between the ceiling and like this pile of bones in the catacombs under France, really fucking freaked me out. And I don't know that it really, I think I have claustrophobia, but not like really. I just have a mild fear of enclosed spaces.
Right, what about you, Roberto? Do you have any fears?
Oh, that's another good one. I had I was afraid of the ocean for a little bit. Which is ironic considering I live like 10 minutes from a beach. I'd have to say,
why would you be afraid of the ocean? Did you not, was it because you couldn't swim at the time?
I think some people are afraid of the ocean because they're not sure what's
yeah, in it. That was kind of it. I just
like there's, okay. There could be, I mean, the ocean, like a lake is contained by land. It's landlocked.
Right.
And so there's like a, I don't know, you kind of have an idea of what's in there.
I think it's because it was compounded by a fear of crabs.
Are you still scared of crabs? It's really not.
No, it's okay. Because, I mean, now, like, you know, they're intimidating. They're basically spiders.
Yeah, there's spiders with pinchy
fingers.
Right,
like, they're armored.
That tastes delicious in butter.
Like, they're armored, they pinch, they bite, they, you know, like,
imagine if they were bigger, they'd be, like, really, imagine, like, a giant crab fighting a bear.
Yeah,
giant crab wins every time.
They move real fast, they're unpredictable, like, you know, depending on the claw, some will just bite, like, pinch into you, and then you have to, like, I saw one video, it was like a stupid contest thing, I don't know what the hell they were doing. But this, like, one had, like, a giant black claw. Had to be the size of, like a Bluetooth speaker or some shit like that. And it was, like, you know, the blooper was that he gets pinched and, like, it grabs him. And he's just writhing in pain. And somebody had to take a scissor and actually, like, cut off the arm. Right. Because, yeah. You know, they won't let go. I guess it was that. And then...
Have you ever been pinched by a crab?
I think one time I stepped on one that hurt.
It sucks.
Which I didn't even like. I mean, it hurt for a little bit, but not like that. That was like, I didn't. And then one time, like, I think I accidentally picked one up, but it was like a little one. So like, it kind of just.
Do you ever like maliciously, specifically attack crabs in video games because you hate them so much?
No. As a matter of fact, wait. So oh shit. So there was a game. I don't remember what it was, but I have to look it up. There was this side-scroller SNES video game. It was like a beat-em-up.
Even better, isn't there an achievement in Tomb Raider to killing a crab?
I never played the Tomb Raiders. But all I remember, the side-scroller was not Mega Man. It wasn't Superman or anything. It was this guy who looked like Buzz Lightyear, like a little bit like Captain Falcon and Buzz Lightyear. And it's like, oh my god, what was it? But it was a side scroller on the SNES, a really good one. But there was like after the first mission, you had these like secondary missions, and one of them was like fighting a giant crab, and that one freaked me out. Like I chose it, but like the way the screen moved, it was like a little box, kind of like Mega Man. And then when you chose it, it
Brandish?
No, I don't know. But all I know is that that mission freaked me out because you had to like, it was a side-scrolling mission, and it's like this thing was moving left and right, and you had to time it to hit the damn crab. It was, oh my god, I don't remember what it was, but I don't know what it is. Like just like, that was just like crabs always freaked me out. But anyway,
yeah, and in the Tomb Raider games, because I just looked it up, I thought so. If you go down to the beach in the first game, there's a whole bunch of crabs, and if you shoot the crab, you get an achievement called Crab Cakes.
What about you, Kalai? What are your fears?
Heights.
Yeah.
And rats and mice. And I can actually tie it into VR because I've experienced it both in VR, and it has not helped me get over my fear.
Right, but, well, I think that just experiencing it in VR and experiencing it in a specifically programmed environment to help you cope with those fears are two very different things.
I'm afraid of mice and rats because of diseases and shit, and they're like, bite me.
Yeah. I bet that if there was a VR experience that was specifically meant to help you with that fear, that there's a chance that it could help. As opposed to, like, just playing a VR game that has rats and stuff in it. I don't know. I don't actually know that that's true, but have you
Right, but I'm afraid of the diseases that they carry.
Wait, whoa. Hold on. Aren't there, like, tons of rats in Vermintide?
Yeah, but that's different. They're cartoon.
What's and the difference? They're scarier kinds of rats. They have all kinds of diseases and weapons.
And they're anthropomorphized.
I don't have a severe fear to the point that I can't see them in video games or VR. Fair enough. I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
There are people that can't see things that have spiders in them because they're so afraid of spiders. I can tell the difference between reality and fantasy. It's only a reality.
Yeah.
When I see him, like, I actually was playing a video game, Wilson's Heart. I opened up a cabinet and a fucking rat dropped out of my head, and that made me scream. Oh my god. But I've experienced the height thing a lot in VR, because in VR, you know, they can do all kinds of things. And if I look down, I will get the feeling of being high up and that vertigo feeling. And,
yeah.
You know, it actually gives me a thrill, because in reality I can't go out there and actually get on a high building and look down. I'd freak out. But having that, knowing that I'm in a safe space and I can't fall, it gets a weird feeling that I like.
So I think that's the whole idea though, right? Is like, so this app specifically, the Heights app, exposes you to that over and over again to the point where you're so okay with it being in a digital space that if you are in a safe space that is high up, it helps you cope with the idea that you're terrified for some reason.
Yeah, I guess because I'm not, like, I've gotten better. I'm not severely terrified, but, like, I can't go on a roller coaster. It's too high up. I've been on, like, one roller coaster and I, like, bawled my eyes out. I mean, I was crying hysterically because I was just so afraid.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, roller coasters get them. It's not even just height, it's like speed, and there's a lot of factors with roller coasters. Gavin was actually really afraid of roller coasters, and we're such good parents that we forced him on a roller coaster. And afterwards, he absolutely loved it, and he wanted to go on every roller coaster he could get on.
Yeah, I got forced on it, and I got stuck upside down.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, it was really rough. Like, I was really scared. And my sister's trying to calm me down. I'm like, oh, I don't like this.
Yeah. So for me, just a like thing. One other fear I forgot to mention was thunderstorms. That always makes me feel uneasy to this day. Just because.
Really?
Yeah, I think because what happens is that first it's like this. There's two things, and my mom still makes fun of me for this, and I get mad about this, but. Here's the thing. First is that lightning, it's like, it doesn't kill people all the time, but it does. It's this bolt coming out from a cloud made of air that indiscriminately hits the ground. And if you're out in a severe storm, it could strike you. and kill you instantly. There was a guy who got struck and his arm literally blew off his torso. And obviously, yes, he died. And like the other thing was, growing up, there was this show called 911. Not the show today. It was like something, something, something 911. And it was on the night, and like they showed like they do reenactments, and there was these stupid kids who were under a tree in a thunderstorm, and like the enactment showed the lightning, like, you know, obviously it's green screen effect, hitting the kids under the tree. And I just thought that could happen to me. So like whenever, and then on top of that, the power goes out, and the power goes out, you know, it's like you need power. And it just, that happened a lot as a kid growing up. So, So, even now, like, if there's a thunderstorm around, I'd like to stay home. I don't like seeing any of that shit.
I think that's actually it's a pretty common one, too. You know, I think a lot of people are scared of it, especially because, like, I think some people like it being loud, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, especially if it's, like, a big thunderstorm.
Right.
And I, like, personally, I don't know why, but, like, I fucking love thunderstorms. Like, at my house in Malden, we had this exposed back porch that was covered, and whenever there was a thunderstorm, I would like go out there with my mom, and we would like hang out and watch the thunderstorm. Like, we live on a big hill in Malden, and I would just like, we would just like watch it roll in. So it was really cool. But yeah, thunderstorms are scary, man. I mean, they can shut power out, they can set fires, they can do all kinds of bad shit.
Well, then
growing up, I was horrendously afraid of thunderstorms.
Right. Yeah, we had dogs that were really scared of them too.
So the other thing is like, we get derechos, you know, straight line winds that that do all sorts of damage. And then in Florida, forget it. You know, when I was in Florida on my Disney internship, they happened all the time, and that was always like, that was always something. They always said to stay indoors and stuff. The one time that a thunderstorm was very helpful though was there was one that was so bad that like I was working at one of the hotels in Disney, and I stayed in the, like, my role was to stay in like the break room when a thunderstorm hit. So I stayed in for like an hour and a half, and I played God of War Chains of Olympus on my PSP. That was cool. But in any case, lastly, part of it was also this little movie called Twister, because my parents, once again,
good.
My mom, good, yeah, my mom and my sister were so great with me. They were like, okay, you know, what was it? 1996, 97. I wasn't even 10 years old. And they took me to go see the movie. And the first 5 minutes is the father, you know, like literally getting sucked out and getting killed. And I'm like, like, that traumatizes you. It's a tornado. Tornadoes are horrible. Tornadoes kill lots of people. And now, like, you're taking me to see a movie where, like, this little girl is being covered by his mom. And then, like, the father literally gets sucked out. Like, so my parents always, like, my mom, like, makes fun of me all the time. I'm like, stop. You know, it's like, you know, well, we've had touchdowns here, too. But in any case, yeah, getting back onto the topic of VR, how does this help?
So not even just VR, right? Are there any, so not necessarily that helped you cope, right? But are there any experiences that either of you guys have had with any video game, right, where something unexpected pops up in the game, and maybe you're not terrified of it, but you're like, oh, fuck, like, I hate that thing, or, and you've had to deal with or experience your real-life fear in, like, a digital way?
Mine was the rats in fucking Wilson's Heart.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I mean, it literally jumped at my face. Just like a godly fear.
That's the thing. Like, I,
Because it's digital, it's not as scary?
Yeah, because I know reality from, you know, not reality.
Right.
So to me, it's just like, I'm not that, like, I have pretty bad fear of them, but to me, again, it's, I know it's not real. So if I know it's not real, it doesn't process the same for me.
Right, your brain knows the difference.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it's for me, there hasn't really been anything in a video game that I'd say helped me conquer, like, a fear of crabs or I mean, like, other than that game I was telling you from the SNES, I found it, I think. It was called Sonic Blast Man, I think you said. Did you say it? That's what you said, right?
No, I think I said Brandish. Or
something. Okay, you know,
Sonic Blast.
Yeah, Man. So because I was looking at the screenshots and like I'm like, okay, yep, that was it. It was a side scroller brawler, and then what happens is that between missions, you have this, like, it looks, it's like there's these, like, little, you fight a giant monster or something like that, but you're not, like, in a side-scrolling level. It's, like, this little thing, you have to time it. This thing's moving left and right, this, like, missile, and then you have to, like, hit the button at the right time in order to attack it. So one of them was fighting a giant crab. By the time, like, I'd say I hit, like, 10, 12 years old and gotten more familiar with like, the ocean and swimming and stuff like that, I stopped, like, you know, having, like a fear of that. Plus, there's the touch tanks in the aquarium for, like, you know, horseshoe crabs and stuff like that. But, yeah. But in terms of, like, gaming, like, I'm not thinking really of that tremendously.
Though I think after today, I have a fear of not getting a fucking video game when I buy one.
Yeah. There was actually, come to think of it, there was actually a game called Treasures of the Deep. It was on PS1. That kind of got me into a little bit of, like, ocean exploration and stuff. That was a beautiful game. I actually had to find it. I wish I could, like, find it and play it and finish it. It was like a game where literally you're like a mercenary and it's very late 90s. It's like you go into the ocean, you dig into treasure chests, you fight pirates, you, like, you know, with underwater submersibles and underwater machine guns. But, like, the music was really nice, the visuals were really nice, and that's why I was like, okay, this is actually kind of peaceful. With how the ocean
is. And so, like, are you still scared of the ocean? Not to
no,
put you on
I'd have to
spot.
Say, like, you know, not really, like, the ocean anymore. Like, I'll jump into it and stuff like that. I'd have to say, like, there's always that sense of caution when you're out, like, alone. Like, one time I saw this, like, kayak, like, deep, like, out in the ocean away from the beach, and I took a kayak out there, and it was, like, an inflatable kayak, and it was just these two people who were just drunk out of their minds on July 4th, like, oh, we're like, I'm like, listen, there are giant boats going past you. I don't think you realize how far you are. So, like, there's always like that. And, you know, we've had a hit, like, the other thing, here's the other thing too. New Jersey is the state of Jaws, because, as you know, Jaws was a movie. Jaws was based on Amityville Island. It was based off a book, and the book was based off a series of shark attacks that happened here in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Including a shark attack that went up the Matawan River and killed the guy. So part of it is
yeah, which you were very close to when you were at my house.
See, there you go.
It's one of my favorite movies of all.
Oh
time,
yeah, the really. Best. Like I
yes, well that river is
that
near
movie
my house.
Actually used to terrify me because, you know, sharks
fucking
eating
that
guy's leg just falling to the ground.
So really quick, I just want to, like, when I was in fourth grade, it was Valentine's Day, like near Valentine's Day, and we had to do this project where you were supposed to. You get, like, a purple piece of paper and then a bunch of different colors of, like, red and pink, and you're supposed to cut out a bunch of hearts and, like, make a scene from the hearts. And I was in fourth grade, and I cut out a bunch of things, and I made the scene at the end of the movie where it's just the sheriff and the shark, and the boat is, like, cut in half. And my teacher was like, what? Like, why have you seen this movie? And it's, I'm just telling you, like, I am really... especially with movies, it's really tough to scare me. Like, I've just been through everything. I fucking love Jaws.
Right.
Probably one of the best put together movies of all time.
Well, do we want to go into our Facebook now and see what our listeners had to say about this
topic?
Well,
I think, just in closing for me, I'd have to say that, like, the VR is great that that's being tapped into for really dealing with fears. There was a company that's actually just founded on PAX West that helps people, like, relax with VR. I forgot the name of what it is, but that's into the fray. That's happening. There's other, like, VR applications.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing too, is it's not just fear. I watched another video. We kind of strayed off topic here, which is fine. We just ended up talking about fears, which is kind of cool anyway, because
I
like talking about that kind of stuff. But there is another application for VR that helps people with dementia. I watched this, she must have been, you know, mid-70s, late 80s, and was in, like, a nursing home and had dementia, didn't speak, any of that kinds of stuff. And she apparently, in her younger days, used to, like, ride horses by the ocean and do all this kind of stuff. And they had her, like, put a VR headset on. And it kind of, like, took her to a scene. She wasn't riding a horse or anything, but, like, took her to a scene of the ocean and horses were there and stuff. And, like, you could see her body just immediately, perk up, you know what I mean? In instead of being in this kind of just like almost vegetative state. And I really do think that VR applications for this kind of stuff is really interesting, in that we're really at the tip of the iceberg for helping people cope with not just fears, but all kinds of other mental disorders.
Right, and then with I think that we're going to start seeing more like VR applications for the games coming up. There's actually a new Tetris game, that
Tetris Effect.
Yeah, which actually that was something cool, because they actually did a research study with these guys where they played Tetris like crazy, and they reported seeing shapes and sounds and stuff like that, and this whole universe, like their brain, like had been activated, and that comes out this December. So it'll be neat to see how these kind of color patterns and things like that happen and how they affect. There's also there was another VR game I just got. I think I'm going to bring it up for next week that has to deal with like loss and coping with loss. There's another game called Torn that does the same thing. So, this is like it's a nice application. I'm glad that people are like really tapping into it. And I just hope it just expands further to like, you know, veterans, any kid dealing with any kind of behavioral issues, yeah, stuff like that. So anyways, okay. That being closed, we can move on to the...
All right, let's jump into our Facebook group. You said topic of the week, with the season of fears and phobias upon us. We're talking about how games can help us overcome our fears and how the industry has facilitated that. Has a game ever helped you cope with your fear or forced you to face one? Jonathan, which I think... Is Jonathan a friend?
Yeah, he's a friend of mine.
Okay, good. Maybe you can explain this. Outlast 1 and 2, that is all.
Me and Jotham both picked those games up at the... Well, one specifically at the same time. And it was just a very jump... Like, probably the closest I've ever come to being scared by a game, like, for reals. Just because it's very intense. Jump scary.
That shit is intense. Fucking... I can't get through the first game.
Yeah. So that's just what all that's about.
Actually, my friend at work... when my husband went away for work for a week, he was like, you should go home at night, turn off all the lights, and play Outlast. I was like, no. Yeah, mm-mm.
That is a bad idea.
Veronica says spiders, every RPG ever. And Matt says Dead Space 2, and the nursery was a great way to force me to face my apprehension of dark places.
Dead Space 2 is actually my favorite survival horror game of all time.
That just celebrated.
It is better than it's. Yeah, it's amazing.
It celebrated its 10th anniversary. The first one.
Did it really?
Yeah, last week.
Wow, 10 years.
I know. Fuck. It was bittersweet because it's like the Visceral game was shut down last year, and you know, because EA's a bunch of, you know, they can eat a bag of dicks, and you know, it's like they really, that game catapulted everything what we could come to know with survival horror space. Yeah. And really, like,
I feel like it really changed like what those games were. You know what I mean, like it allowed a little bit more action, I think, than what was. Like, I mean, really, we just had like Fatal Frame and Resident Evil and a couple others, Silent Hill and all that stuff. And Silent Hill's always kind of been a very different experience. It's always been more
surreal and
about kind of investigating everything.
Yeah, this one was more like just going into. A hopeless situation where there's no help coming. You're using mining tools to fight the enemies.
My favorite about the second one was the kinesis, where like the limb cutting
right,
was
and then
so
you
cool,
just
but then like cutting a limb and
just take
so
a blade and just
cool, man.
Fucking then like, you know, knock a guy into the wall. That was amazing. Yeah. I will say also the use of the Smashing Pumpkins, Rat in a Cage. Now, like, every time I hear that song, it's like Dead Space 2. Yeah.
Dead Space. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, good. I'm just hoping that it comes back somehow. Moving on. What's the next one?
Actually, that brings us to the end of our show.
Yeah, it was a short discussion because we didn't have enough time to leave it up for a long time.
It's all right. And I don't think anybody knew how to really respond to that. Apparently, we didn't either because we just... change the topic of the show in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
So it's all right.
Yeah.
Roberto, how can they get in touch with you?
Okay. VectorMan88 is my PlayStation Network ID. You can find me on stackup.org, Military Gaming Charity. We are preparing for our big streaming event called Call to Arms, where we will be benefiting all sorts of veterans across the country and around the world. Please join us on Veterans Day this year to chip in, see amazing streamers, play all sorts of amazing games, and raise money for the troops. You'll find me there writing and also participating in various events. Next up is But Why Though podcast. It is a website dedicated to asking why the pop culture matters. I'm a contributor there. I'll be doing some reporting for PAX Unplugged for them, and also hopefully Anime New York City. I have not got the press badge yet, but I'm still waiting on that. Twitter handle is at Jehuty88. That's J-E-H-U-T-Y. And if you find a picture of a guy wearing a crown that says Armor Games, that's me. Then also Major Sloth 1988 for Snapchat, Instagram, and yeah, that's it. And then Facebook, of course, the Game Stuff Podcast. I'll be broadcasting more gameplay footage to the Game Stuff Facebook page. And yeah, that's it for me. That's how you can reach me.
Now, when you go to PAX Unplugged, are you going to play Talisman?
No, because I'm going to probably do what you just did. Just like, I'll take that thing and just chuck it to a wall.
Can I request you to play one specific thing?
Go play
Dice Throne.
Dice Throne?
Here, hold on.
Is it like, as in thrown as in T-H-R-O-W-N, or thrown as in T-H-R-O-N-E?
Yes, as in thrown.
Okay, so I see some peoples, kind of. Oh, okay.
Okay, we could take this off the air. Yeah. How
just
can
go play
they get
this
in touch
game.
With
it's dope as fuck. It's like Yahtzee meets Street Fighter.
Yahtzee.
And how can they get in touch with Yahtzee you, Matt?
So you can get in touch with me on the Dice Throne community message boards on Facebook. Everybody should play Dice Throne. Go play Dice Throne. On all socials, as well as Steam and PlayStation Network, I am Missed Enough, and it's MISTAHNUFF. And yeah, that's about it. You can catch me there and in the Game Stuff podcast, and go play Dice Throne. Buy it. Support these guys. They make incredible stuff. Do it. Board games. Because it's not all just video
right.
games. Or
just like that Uno video I shared on the Facebook. Yeah. That was funny.
Hysterical.
Yeah, like I was dying.
You can find me on Steam at Kali21. You can find me on the Xbox at Miley21. That's M-A-I-L-E, the number 21. And my first name, Kali, K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. You can find me on the PlayStation at Miley1978. I have a Switch account, but, you know, it's Switch, so, you know, you need my friend code, and the hell if I know that. I haven't memorized that yet. So you can also find me on Twitter at Kali21 or the GameStuff Twittercast, which I am trying to get better at and still horrible at, so sorry. But thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the... But before I do that, also, I'd like to thank some of our sponsors.
Wow, what a train wreck.
Oh, wow, dude, you forgot about that.
We don't know what our topics are. We're veering off topics. My headset doesn't work. What a show.
That's right. We're back to the ice cream truck on fire. And if you want to find that ice cream truck on fire, just go to provengamer.com and look for it. And if you do not see the ice cream truck on fire, please send a message to Tricky Mick asking where is my ice cream truck on fire.
Also ask him if he's ever going to post one of our episodes on time.
Let me thank some of our sponsors. We have Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com, click on any of the Amazon links, and do your shopping like normal. It doesn't cost you any money, and it does help out the site. You can also click on our link for Extra Life. I'm sorry, for Humble Bundle, which supports the Extra Life. It's late, people. Let's keep going. And it does help out the kids. It's cheap PC games. And it doesn't cost you any money. Also, I'd like to thank the people that helped us with the show, Isaac Sago, and the band Take Away the Ugly. Again, links will be in our show notes. And again, if you like our show, check out our other shows. We have the Trophy Whores and Nintendo Dual Screens. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
See you later. Get on the rec train. Woo woo.
Yeah, may the force be with you. Be safe. Be good. And yeah.